All right, so here we're going live. First ever episode, just chatting. Maybe we'll call it Jets chatting, I don't know. But I want to do more than just the Jets. But we're locked in all on the Jets right now. And so obviously, season's over, season's dead. You know, we had all this hope, we had all of this excitement, we had all of this build-up, and just for it to end the way every Jets season ends, seemingly for forever, and seemingly, you know, there's no other way other than in miserable failure, and they did just enough to get our hopes up again. I mean, you go and you watch that game, and if yesterday's game is not Jets fan 101, if you ever wanted to know what it was like to be a Jets fan, turn on that game from the beginning, watch it, and you will understand what it has been like for us the last 20, 30, 40, however many years it's been since 1969, basically. Again, the Colts aren't good. The Colts were not a good football team. Anthony Richardson was not a good quarterback at throwing the football. Like, he was getting benched because he couldn't throw the football. And yet, he picked us apart. This Jets secondary is supposed to be good. Like, I just don't get what has happened, what has gone wrong. Whatever happened to Sauce Gardner, it truly is mind-boggling. It truly just doesn't make any sense. He went from being an all... Like, was he really that overrated? Was he really just not that good his first 2 years? Or, like, is this just the biggest regression, you know, we've ever seen? But again, you know, the defense actually started out the game pretty well. I mean, really, you know, we held them. We were letting them drive a little bit, but for the offense to not get a first down on five straight drives, to essentially not even gain a yard for five straight drives, and for the defense to have only given up one touchdown and two field goals, like, they actually did their job, and this is what the frustrating thing is. There hasn't been a game, except that one Patriots game, where both sides of the ball, plus special teams, oh, goodness gracious, let's not get into special teams right now, but there hasn't been one game where all three parts of the football have worked well at the same time, outside of that Thursday night New England game. It is just bizarre. It is mind-boggling. It doesn't make any sense. And then the offense gets going in the second half, end of the first half. And then the defense forgets how to play football. And we let the Colts march down the field. And then, again, we do just enough. Now, you want to say, should have went for the field goal. Should have went, like... that. I don't think that really matters. I think that's just Aaron Rodgers being like, I know better, which we can go into a whole deep dive, and we will at some point, on why he's such a disappointment, and just he has tarnished his leg. Like, he will not be viewed the same. Like, you know, nobody remembers Michael Jordan on the Wizards, but because he had won multiple times, like, Aaron, I believe, is tarnishing his legacy. He left the Packers, and the Packers have been better without him. Now, whether or not Jordan Love is good, that's a whole other thing, but the Packers got better when he left. There's a whole bunch of factors going. I'm not going to be dumb and say Aaron Rodgers is better than Zach Wilson in any way, shape, or form. I'm not going to go out here and say that. I mean, that's just foolish. That's ridiculous. But at Thanksgiving last year, we were still alive. And, I mean... But anyway, going back to Sunday. Letting Anthony Richardson march down the field and score two touchdowns, and it's one thing if they make plays. It was literally that last drive. It was a carbon copy of what happened against New England. How do you not learn from the past? You know, you watch the Bills and Chiefs games later that afternoon, and this is why the Bills are a good team. They have learned from their mistakes. 2 years ago, they don't go for it on that 4th-and-2 at the end of the game. They kick the field goal, and they say, defense, go stop Patrick Mahomes. Guess what? They learned from that. Josh Allen said, give me the ball, give me the rock, let's go win this football game. And that's what they did. They learned from their past. They've learned from their mistakes. They fixed something. They changed something. They made an adjustment. What a concept that is. The Jets, they don't make adjustments. They do the same thing over and over again. Again, it's not like Josh Allen drove down the field on you to win the game. It's not like Joe Burrow or Mahomes or anybody. It's been Drake. Not even though, because Drake may got knocked out of that game. It was Jacoby Brissett and Anthony Richardson marching down the field with ease. Like, I think when they practice the two-minute drill on Wednesday or Thursday, at practice, it's more challenging, it's more difficult, and their defense puts up more resistance. And it just is not, it's just not good enough. It's just not good enough. And it's bizarre. This vaunted defense is very it's just not good. It's no vaunted defense. The defense is just not good. Bottom line, the defense is not good. You can't watch this team and say we have it's below league average. And I honestly think that's being generous. They can't get a stop. They can't stop the run. And when they do, or when they are able to control the run a little bit, you know, Anthony Richardson, you know, he bowled some people over. And, you know, I actually think the tackling overall was much improved. So there we go. A little bit of adjustment there. Credit to this organization for getting better at something for once in their entire existence. But, I mean, it's just not, and it's, you know, we don't have any true playmakers. C.J. Mosley is clearly closer to the end, and we had no contingency plan. Jamie and Sherwood has been okay. Like, he's been flying around, he's athletic, but I don't think he actually knows what he's doing in terms of X's and O's. Again, I could be wrong, but he's a converted safety, and I mean, again, it's an improvement over C.J. because he can actually move, and so, you know, the Jets went for it. We went for it this year, and we said, let's make one run at a Super Bowl, and let's get all these guys together. And Tyron Smith, yeah, it hasn't been horrible, but, like, were we expecting the Tyron Smith from Dallas? Like, that wasn't going to happen. Even last year, like, it wasn't the same offensive line. John Simpson has been a boss. Morgan Moses has been solid. AVT is constantly hurt. Joe Tippmann, it's fine. And so the line has been okay. But, again, we popped in Ole for, you know, Tyron Smith. And then here's the other thing. Like, if we knew we were going to draft Ole Fashanu in the first round and use a top 10 pick on a lineman, did we need to focus so much money on the line? Like, did we need all three of those guys to come in? Did we need Tyron Smith to come in? Did we need Morgan Moses? And did we need Johnson? Like, did we need to bring in all three of them if we knew we were going to take a lineman at number 10 in the draft? And this kind of brings me into really what I wanted to talk about, and it's Joe Douglas, right? What do we do? Because honestly, I look at it and it's an enigma because, you know, you ask, like, how big of a role does a GM, you know, really play? How much does a GM really matter? And I think, again, maybe I'm talking out of my, you know, behind here, and I'm just, again, I'm not huge into the X's and O's in the front office, offices of football. I'm just a fan who I enjoy watching teams besides the Jets, and, you know, every once in a while they get me hyped, they get me going. But so how much does a GM really do? Like, is he bringing in the right player? Like, but, and so I know Joe Douglas's name because he's my GM, but, and so I was thinking, firstly, do I know the name of the Chiefs GM? No, I don't. And I don't think a lot of people do. I don't know the name of the Bills GM. I don't know the name of the Ravens GM, of the 49ers GM. And so maybe it's one of those things where a GM is good if we're not talking about him all the time. Like, maybe I shouldn't know a GM's name. It's kind of like, you know, if your right guard is good, you probably don't know his name unless you're a diehard watching every single game. And that's kind of the point, right? That's kind of the point. So, Joe Douglas gets talked about a lot. And so, you know, we're going to go through here. We're going to look. I'm going to look at his draft picks, look at his free agency, and decide. I mean, I think it's clear at this point, like, he just has to go just for the sole fact of, like, it hasn't worked. You signed a 6-year deal to rebuild this team. And I know you inherited a bad situation, right? But you've gotten plenty of cracks at it. You've got your top pick to get a quarterback. You fail. For 6 years, every quarterback you've attempted to make work has not worked. At some point, that's on you, right? And so that's number one. Okay, so we look. He signed his deal in 2019. And he's approaching the end of it. Let me just double check here just to make sure that, again. So I believe he came and got the job in 2019. Yes, he was hired June 7th, 2019. Again, and you just think about the way the offseason is structured. The fact that we hired a GM in June means that going into that 2019 season, he didn't have much of an offseason to be able to, you know, make the moves that he needed to make, right? And so it's just this thing, again, of never being on top, always making the move too late, always making the wrong choice, always making the wrong decision. You know, like this whole Robert Saleh thing. Was it wrong to fire him? Objectively, no, because everybody who knew football, who you talked to and you asked, said that he was not a good football coach. Like, he was not a coach you could win a Super Bowl with if he's your head coach. Like, I think that was pretty consensus. So the problem was not firing him. The problem was, again, you fired him 6 months too late. Why was he not fired in January if you knew that if he gets off to a slow... Again, it's just poor decision making, it's poor planning, it's poor leadership, it's poor management, and I just feel like we don't talk about that enough. These guys are getting a pass. These guys are getting a pass, and I think the front office, the up top, we need to know, like, they need to start being held a lot more accountable, you know, and I think it's about time that we do that. So, again, I just want to double check my boxes here. What coaches did Joe Douglas hire? So, yeah, Adam Gase was already here when he came over. So we hire Adam Gase, because I think all this background is important, right? So we hire Adam Gase. Again, we hired the coach before we hired the GM. No, we didn't. Yes, because Adam Gase is announced in January of 2019. We hire Joe Douglas in June of 2019. Now, the problem with that is, you need to let your GM hire his coach. So that way, when it doesn't work, you clean house, you know who to hold accountable for the decision. That's one of the biggest problems in the Jets. In the organization, there's never any accountability. It's always somebody else's fault, or they always inherited this mess, or this or that or the other thing. So again, he's already kind of coming in with his hands tied behind his back. So if we go, we look at the 2020 draft, okay? Yeah, COVID, whatever, but do your job, all right? Plenty of other people did their job during COVID, so there was figure it out. And so we go through and we look at the 2020 draft, right? Mekhi Becton. Again, that was a let's swing for the fences on a home run. Again, you at the time you understood it, but I think for his time at the Jets, at the best you can give that a C, right? And I believe it was the number 11 pick. So top 15. If you swing for the fences, you've got to hit a home run, right? You've got to get a good player if you're picking in the top 15, okay? Especially with a position like offensive lineman. I feel like it, again, he doesn't even have to be an all-pro. He just has to be a consistent NFL starter. I mean, now he's over at Philly starting, but again, injuries like, and it wasn't a skill issue, which this is kind of what worries me about the Jets' process. The whole problem was, basically, he's not going to be in shape enough to play. How do you take a number 11 How do you waste the number 11 pick, a top 15 pick, on a guy who you're not sure is going to be able to eat chicken and rice instead of a double bacon cheeseburger? That can't happen. You cannot waste the number 11 pick on that. Like, what are we doing with that? Again, you understood the potential. He's a freak. He's a beast. But if you can't, the number one ability is availability. And if you're going to pick a guy that is not available, you cannot pick him at number 11 when you're a team that needs talent. And the Jets just need talent. So you need to make sure you hit. You need to make sure you hit. Okay? It's just, that's just what you have to do. And he did it with that. The rest of that draft, Denzel Mims, trash. I don't even know if he called a pass for us. Again, like, it's just mind-boggling. Ashton Davis might be one of the best picks from that draft, if we're being totally honest, which is not saying much. Jabari Zuniga, did he do anything for us? LaMichael Perine, he was in that, I feel like, that just black hole at the running back position for about 2 years where we didn't have a real one or we didn't know how to use one. Not a great pick. James Morgan, what are we doing? What are we doing? That was a fourth-round pick. That was a fourth-round pick on a trash QB prospect. On a trash QB prospect. I'm sorry, James Morgan. I'm very, very sorry, but let's be real. You're never going to hear this. You're not going to listen to this. Again, what are we doing with that? What are we doing? Get talent. What? Ugh, it's just, it's ridiculous. Cameron Clark. Don't even know who that is. Bryce Saul. Not a bad pick. And then we pick a freaking punter, Braden Mann, who wasn't even good. He wasn't even good. If you pick a punt, even though, yes, it was a sixth-round pick, so blah, 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 you know, whatever. But, again, when you need talent, if you pick a punter, because, again, you could have signed him after the draft, all right? Again, no, unless he is Shane Leckler, or, you know, unless he's going to be an all-pro for the next 10 years, you cannot draft a punter. Kicker, we can maybe discuss, but even then, you cannot pick a punter in the draft when you're a good team, when you're not a good team. What are we doing there? What are we doing? So that draft, you can't. I mean, if you want to be generous, you could say C-, but let's be real, that's a D-plus draft, and that's your first draft. So, the 2020 draft, not giving him a ton of credit for, all right, not giving him a ton of credit, just bad decisions, okay? It's one thing to pick a guy, and if it just doesn't work out, and injuries, and this, and that, and the other thing, but with Mekhi Becton, you knew that was going to be a thing, so I can't even excuse that, plus, I'm pretty sure that there was multiple offensive linemen that could have been picked in that draft. It's not like Mekhi Becton was the only one. And it was known he was the boomer bust prospect. The Jets are not in a spot to pick a boomer bust left tackle because, guess what? We didn't have a left tackle. You need to get that right. You need to get the foundation right, which is something the Jets have never done, and I'm starting to think they will never do. So, 2020 draft, not great. 2021, here was his shot, okay? We cleared it out. We stunk. We tried to tank for Trevor Lawrence. Couldn't even tank properly. But again, I can't put that on Joe Douglas, all right? He assembled a team worth tanking, the team that was able to tank that season. So, not going to put that all on him. So, what do we go? We go with Zach Wilson. And you got to say that was a bust. That was a bust. Could it have been better? I don't know. In another world, is Zach Wilson still running around in the pocket, slinging passes like he did in that one Tennessee game? Is he, you know, going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes on Sunday night on a regular basis? Is people saying who's the best quarterback in the AFC East, him or Josh Allen? I don't know. But our infrastructure wasn't there to deal with the type of quarterback. We didn't have, again, a line, which goes back to the first thing, okay? Again, you knew that we were going to go tank for the quarterback that upcoming season, so at least get him a solid left tackle. And we botched that the year before, so that puts us behind the eight ball. So Zach Wilson, I mean, bad. We picked wrong. Let me refresh my memory here. Who were the other QB options? Zach Wilson draft. So was it that we just made the wrong choice, or... So, we look at the 2021 class. So, Trey Lance, okay. You can make the argument that we got the better quarterback out of those two. Now, here are the guys who went after Zach Wilson. Kyle Pitts, all right, fine. Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Slater. All of those guys went in between our first pick that year and our second pick in the top 15. And again, I know that was the tank for Trevor, but honestly, you can kind of make the case that, you know, Trevor Lawrence hasn't really lived up to the billing either. So could we maybe give Joe the benefit of the doubt and say, honestly, out of the QB options, he got the... I mean, Justin Fields is... But again, I don't know. Was Justin Fields like a more ready-made version for... I don't know. Would he have fit in better with the style and the type of, you know, game plan that Salo is going to end up having? Maybe. Would it have fit with the tough, just run it down your grill... You know, I don't know. It's impossible to tell. I mean, Mac Jones, he stinks. So, but again, he got it wrong. And so, again, Chase or Waddle or Sewell or Surtain, Devontae Smith. I mean, shoot, Micah Parsons. And so then we also get Elijah Vera Tucker in that draft. And again, he's been good. I mean, injuries, I'm willing to give Douglas the benefit of the doubt with those injuries. But so, again, the jury's still kind of out on him. Second round, we pick Elijah Moore, who – and this one confuses me, man. This one, I don't know. He was clearly talented, and all the reports out of, you know, camp, that rookie year and all that, were saying that this guy is electric, but we weren't able to use him properly. Now, he's gone to Cleveland and done essentially nothing. His best seasons were with the Jets. So, again, that's a weird one. Like, you just don't really know. Again, I don't really know what to do with that. So, I don't want to say that's a bad pick, but it's not really a good pick either. So, again, we're not doing great in this draft. Our first three picks, two of them are, and again, this was 2021, so three seasons ago, two of our top three picks, or we picked, I mean, Elijah Moore was actually pick 34, so we had three picks in the top 34. One of them is still with the team. I mean, rookie deals are four-year deals, and his job was to come in and build a team, you know, build it from the ground up, okay? We stunk. Adam Gase, you know, that stink. So let's come in. Let's build it from the ground up. And he was unable to do that. We draft Michael Carter, the running back. I mean, whatever. Jamie and Sherwood, who is still on the team. We actually drafted him as a defensive back. We transitioned him to linebacker. Michael Carter, the second. Great pick there. Jason Pinnock hasn't really done too much. Hamza Nasiruddin. That's Brandon Echols. So it was okay. And we're going to start to see this theme develop where Joe Douglas can pick a defender, and that probably comes from his, you know, past, his record, his, you know, just kind of what Baltimore did, which that's where he came over from, right? Or that's where he at least started, right? With Baltimore, I think he actually came over directly from the Eagles, but. You know, you get the point. And so he just wasn't able to hit on offense. And again, I don't know how high you can grade that draft where when you have three picks in the top 34 and One of them stayed. Now, you kind of save it a little bit with those defensive pieces, but again, that's like, those guys are a dime a dozen. I mean, there's 15 of them. There was probably 15 of them in the draft. So then we get to 2022. And we get to 2022, where coming into the season, you had to say that Joe Douglas hit an absolute home run. This was a masterclass. You could argue that this is one of the best drafts in terms of amount of quality guys the team got. You could argue that that this is one of the most successful drafts in terms of finding quality, solid, starting caliber players. Again, he almost, there was a time where you could argue on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He went 7 for 7. And then also, by the way, adding 3 all-pro caliber players within that. So that's obviously the Sauce draft. That's the Garrett Wilson draft. Trading back up to get Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall, Jeremy Ruckert. Max Mitchell is proven to be a rotational offensive lineman. And then this guy, Michael Clemens, who everybody, I can't figure out why he gets playing time. And it's because, I really do think it's because they play him so that they can say how good their 2022 draft class was. And they can say, look at this. We drafted, you know, those first four, again, exceptional. Like, hit it out of the park. Even though, again, not even trying the troll. Really not trying the troll, but you have to have questions about Sauce Gardner after what he's displayed this season. I mean, it's year three. You could understand if it was year two, and it seems like a not caring thing. I mean, his answers he's given are bad. He's getting burnt. Teams are targeting him. Again, I don't know enough X's and O's or film breakdown of football to be able to tell you if this was always happening and it just kind of got shielded or I don't know what. But I do know there's no other way to say it besides the fact that he has regressed. He's gotten worse. He's gotten significantly worse. He's gotten obviously worse. I mean, we knew the guy couldn't make a tackle, but good night in the morning, he's just getting plowed over by guys. And then not even that, he's not even a shutdown corner. I don't even know if he's been a top 20. He's not even been a top 32 corner in the NFL this year. I don't know how many teams he goes and he's their number one corner. He just hasn't been good, so you have to have serious questions about that. Plus, it'd be one thing if he was just having a bad year, but his accountability is bad, dude. Every time he messes up the play, he's pointing at somebody else or someone else's fault. Man, what are you doing? I don't know. Maybe he's hurt and he's gotten through it, and then if that's the case, then my bad, dude. My bad. I appreciate you gunning it through. But he's making, like, again, on the Colts game, I can think of 3 obvious plays where he got burnt. Same thing against New England. He got burnt. I don't know if he doesn't actually know the coverages. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe someone who's better at X's and O's could break that down for you. But he hasn't been good. Garrett Wilson, amazing. I mean, you Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, those are guys you build the franchise around. Okay? Those are guys you build the franchise around. I'm going to come back to that. Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, pay them whatever you want. Jermaine Johnson, I honestly think before he ruptured that Achilles, I really think he was going to have a huge season. So that just stinks. That's brutal. Jeremy Ruckert, I don't know. He's from Long Island, so that's my guy. That's my dude. But it just feels like, I mean, he's your run-of-the-mill second tight end in the league. I mean, I think Kenny Yeboah might be better than him, so maybe he's our third tight end. And then Max Mitchell, again, he's like a rotational sixth lineman. Like, sure, fine. And then Michael Clemens might be the dumbest player in the NFL. He might be the dumbest player in the NFL. I mean, watching this guy is it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. So, I mean, 2022, that looks like an A+. But now with what Sauce is doing, and I mean, is Garrett Wilson going to want to come back to this? Is Breece Hall going to want to come back to this? I mean, these two guys are electric. These two guys are electric. Like, moving forward, unless Sauce Gardner fixes it after the bye and he he's better. Like, I don't know if I want that guy on my team. I really don't. I don't know if I want that guy on my team. So then we move to 2023, and obviously, I mean, law of averages. You know, it's obviously going to be a drop. So we go with Will McDonald, which, as crazy as it sounds, the jury's still out. I mean, he's sacking people, or he started the season sacking people. I don't know, maybe that was a bit fluky. I feel like he hasn't really done much since, like, week 5, and we're in week 11, so you kind of do the math there. Joe Tippmann is a fine starting center. Carter Warren, again, just another rotational guy. Izzy Abanaconda. Again, Joe Douglas is showing us that, I mean, even, so going back to 2022 for a second, right? How good was Joe Douglas in that draft versus, I mean, Sauce was an obvious pick there. Okay, Sauce was an obvious pick, and Garrett Wilson was an obvious pick. So, like, how much credit do you get for making the easy choice? How much points do you get for making the easy choice? It's like, you know, on the test, I'm also a teacher. Do I give you 3 points just for writing your name on the tests? Like, no, that's a given. And Sauce and Garrett Wilson were kind of givens in the spots that they were taken in. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, again, trading up Jermaine Johnson was cool. Finding Breece Hall, excellent. So, again, not too much. I mean, 2023, fine. You got two starter-level players, so we move with them. And then 2024, again, still way too early to do anything with this, but Ole looks solid. I mean, Malachi Corley, can we get the guy on the field at this point? I mean, goodness gracious. And again, this Xavier Gibson nonsense. Why is Matt? I know he dropped the ball. But Xavier Gibson is not good. I mean, I will love you forever for that punt return against Buffalo on week 1 last season. I will love you forever. You have your place in Jets history, which I don't even know if you really want that, but you have it, dude. Outside of that, what does he do? Why is he still getting so many opportunities? He hasn't had a good punt return since. He's not dangerous. Give it to Malachi Corley. Let somebody else do it. This isn't working. Again, this whole idea of the Jets, I feel like they're just so narrative driven, and they make choices based off of the narrative and trying to make themselves look at him because the guy got popular on Hard Knocks 2 years ago that nobody cares about or nobody likes. He should not be returning punts. Get the ball to Malachi Corley. Somebody else should be back there. All right? It's ridiculous. But it just also goes to show that we don't have explosive players. We don't. I mean, you can't have Garrett Wilson back there. You can't have Breece Hall back there. Outside of those two guys, there's not too much. Like, there's not much happening. There's not much happening. Braylon Allen, that looks like a steal. Even though I don't think that our offense is bad. I mean, hiring Nathaniel Hackett. What are we doing? How did we hire this guy? And again, this kind of is an indictment on Joe Douglas. So yes, you brought in Aaron Rodgers. Yes, you made that move. And again, you'd be dumb to say you had to do it, and I'm fine with that. But as a general manager, your job is, like, you got the quarterback. That's great. And I'm fine with, you know, making him happy and getting guys he's comfortable with. But when you give him the keys to the organization, well, he hasn't done anything. He's won one Super Bowl. He's won one. He's very talented at throwing the football, yes, but it's not like he's a proven winner. He's not a proven winner. That's why Green Bay got rid of him. That's why Green Bay was sick of him. And so to turn the keys over to him and basically let him run the show and to bring in Nathaniel Hackett, who was a disgrace as a head coach. He was a disgrace. To actually bring in Nathaniel Hackett and let this guy, who at best case scenario with Aaron Rodgers was you got 3 competitive, competent years. You got last year, no injury. You got this year, and then you would maybe get next year. That would have been the best case scenario. So to turn the keys of your organization over to a guy who won one Super Bowl and is more known for being a diva and not a great teammate, to do that for at best a 3-year run, I gotta look at Joe Douglas, man. That was the wrong choice. That was the wrong choice. Again, I'm fine. You could say, Aaron, we can bring in some of your weapons. You can bring in some of your guys. But we're not going to let you handcuff this organization, right? I actually think it's not Matt LaFleur because that's the Packers coach. Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator, he was running good stuff. I liked his stuff most of the time, some of the time. But we had Zach Wilson and no receivers to be able to execute the schemes and to be able to execute the stuff. I mean, but he is running, he would run circles around what Nathaniel Hackett was doing with this offense. I mean, it's crazy that I know Aaron Rodgers is better than Zach Wilson. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Zach Wilson. But think back to last year when Zach Wilson comes in. He's running an Aaron Rodgers offense. And you could very much so make an argument that Zach Wilson has run Aaron Rodgers' offense better than Aaron Rodgers. You can make that argument. Now, again, is Aaron Rodgers going to be more accurate? But the thing with Zach was he was able to move and extend plays and get out of the pocket. And that's a bunch of what Aaron Rodgers' offense is predicted on it. It's him getting out, and then his receivers kind of reacting to him getting out. But when he can't get out of the pocket, he doesn't have that. And he can't move. He cannot move. And, again, we turn the keys to the organization over to this guy! We turn them over to this guy, and that's why we didn't fire Robert Saleh at the end of last season, when that's when it should have been done and everybody would have been okay with it. But because Aaron liked him, because Robert was going to let him do whatever he wanted, that was when we should have known that there was problems. Because he should have been gone. Because we honestly, we probably should have made the playoffs last year because the defense was good and we just needed Zach Wilson to be okay enough. We needed him to be okay enough, and he was close. There was just some ineptitude scheme-wise. There was some ineptitude game-planning-wise, and there was penalties, and undisciplinedness, right? Has that gotten better since Robert Saleh left? No, even though I actually don't think the Jets got called for any penalties on Sunday. If they did, it wasn't like a ton, there wasn't any major game changing, like game altering penalties. So it's, I don't know. I kind of lost my, but again, so you look at these drafts. Has Joe Douglas gotten some guys? Yes. Has he hit on some things? And then just other decisions this offseason, right? Like, okay. So we actually had a backup, which again, let's go back again to last season. Again, we're looking at Joe Douglas. You brought in an old quarterback with an offensive line that you knew going into last season. This is going into last season. Going back into that week one opener against Buffalo that season. You knew Aaron Rodgers was old and not going to be able to move the same way he did. So, for you to not have had a backup on the roster besides Zach Wilson, that was inexcusable general managing. That was inexcusable. Your job is personnel. Your job is to make sure that if a player goes down, the season is not over. Okay? And he never fixed that. It wasn't just, okay, week one, it happened, whatever, we put in Zach. We didn't look. We didn't do anything to fix that. Who did we end up with? These bums, Trevor Siemian. Who are the others got? I don't even want to remember these other guys that got in the game. But it was so bad. It was so mismanaged. It was so bundled. And then I look at that, like Joe Douglas, and I'm like, honestly, I don't know how he's still the GM. Like that right there, that should have been the nail in the coffin. It was, how did you not have a ready-made quarterback How did you not have a backup quarterback when we had a 40-year-old starting behind, again, at best, a questionable offensive line? At best, that was a questionable offensive line, which, again, you can even go further. How do you bring in Aaron Rodgers and not fix the offensive line? How do you not have a competent offensive line? I don't understand. We couldn't protect crap last season. We couldn't protect anything. And, again, to not have a plan. And that's just the Jets in a nutshell. They never have a plan. They never have a plan. Why was their defense so good last year? Because of that line, right? Robert, the whole defensive game plan is about building, getting pressure onto the quarterback. Well, let me tell you what happens when you let all your talents go and the people who are able to get after the quarterback, and you let Bryce Huff walk, and you let Quentin Jefferson and Al Woods and John Franklin Myers, and you let all these guys go, and you do not replace them. You replace them with bumpsicles like Javon Kinlaw. Like, what the heck has he done all season? You replace these guys with Michael Clemens. Like, what the heck are you doing? What are you doing? What do you do in the offseason, bro? What do you do in your office Monday through Friday, 9 to 5? Right, the rest of us are out here working so we can buy tickets to go watch this team, and you're doing nothing. You're probably saying, hey, Aaron, how are you feeling, buddy? Who are you vibing with this week, buddy? Who do you want us to have this week, buddy? And it's gross. It's disgusting. It's negligence. It's malpractice to have wasted that defense and to not. How did we not run that entire defense back? How did we not run that entire defense back? Because that defense was a playoff defense. That was a high-level defense. And then, okay, so we bring back Aaron Rodgers, right? Again, Zach Wilson was able to be kind of good enough with Garrett and Lazard. And, you know, whatever, maybe it's Malachi Coy could have done something. And you signed Mike Williams, which, again, dude, what were we doing? Mike Williams was never going to work with Aaron Rodgers. He's a jump ball type of receiver, and Aaron, like, again, he caught a couple good passes, but Aaron Rodgers wasn't even looking at him, bro. Aaron Rodgers wasn't even looking at him. That's the kind of thing where you say, hey, Aaron, what type of receiver do you need? That's fine. Get a receiver that'll work with Aaron Rodgers. He's comfortable with. That's fine. Not the entire offensive staff. Not the entire offensive coaching staff. That's not how you do it. That's bad management, Joe Douglas. Turn the organization on one side of the ball over to that, over to this crumb bum Aaron Rodgers. Bad. That was bad. That's where you made your mistake. That was, or one of the major mistakes. And then the kicker situation. Greg Zuerlein cost us 3 games, and you didn't do anything about it. Like, you're just standing there watching this, clearly seeing after the Denver game. That should have been a warning sign. Oh my goodness. Right? If he kicks a field goal, we win that game. If that field goal goes in against Denver, this entire season honestly might be different. Saleh never gets fired. Probably doesn't get fired. Against Buffalo, if he made a freaking field goal, we probably beat the Buffalo Bills. And I think there might have been one other game. Might have been another game. So we could potentially have our record flipped, dude. Have our record flipped. If we had a proper field goal kicker or a plan for field goal kicking. And again, Greg was great last year, but, like, to let it go that far and not have a kicker, like, what is Joe Douglas doing all day in his office? I just don't understand what he does all day. I don't know what these guys do all day. Like, again, I don't get mad at him for bringing in Aaron Rodgers, because that's a move, right? That's a move. I'm okay if you make a move and it doesn't work out. But when you just sit on your hands and you get caught just, like, staring into space, not doing anything, that's when I have a problem. That's when we have issues. That's when we need to chat. And I need to see, okay, what are you doing all day? Right? I need that thing with from The Office where, I forget, Pam has to follow Michael Scott around all day to write something in his thing. I think what this Jets front office does and this coaching staff does, it would look very similar to what Michael Scott did on Pretzel Day. It would look very similar. I don't think they do anything. I don't think they do anything. Why do you say that? That's harsh. That's mean. That's blah, blah, blah. Look at the result on the field. Look at what they do on the field. Look at the decisions they make. Tell me these are guys making good, competent decisions based off of good work and doing their homework. They don't. They don't. They're that kid that copies the homework 30 seconds before the teacher walks around to collect it, and they try to sit next to the smart kid in class on test day and try to get as many answers off him as... That's who the Jets front office is, and that's why they got to go. And every once in a while, they'll answer a question right, and they'll make a good pick. They'll pick a Garrett Wilson. They'll pick a Breece Hall, right? They'll do some of these things. But then they make horrendous decisions like, hey, the reason our defense was so good last year was our defensive line. Okay, we're going to let all those guys go. Like, what are you doing, dude? What the heck are you doing? Right? And again, this even goes, well, you say, oh, well, we trust our development. We trust our development. Then why did you fire Robert Saleh? Then why did you fire Robert Saleh? Your decisions are so, what's the word? Your decisions just don't make sense. They're not, it's not incompatible. They're incoherent. You contradict yourselves over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You crumb bums don't make a right decision. And so you look at it, you think about it. I didn't even get into all the free agent things because he stinks at signing free agents. He stinks. Every freaking wide receiver he signed stinks. Remember the Mecole Hardman thing? How do we get rid of him after? I mean, my goodness. Breshad Perriman, Jamison Crowder, all these guys. We cannot find the right guys. We can never make the right guy, which again, brings me into what do you do all day? What are you doing when you make these decisions? Do you just go on ESPN and be like, hey, what wide receiver is left? Oh, this guy, okay, he sounds pretty cool. He sounds pretty good. Let's go bring him in. It's just bad. It's just poor. It's gross. It's disgusting. And these fans who show up to that crap hole cesspool stadium in the middle of the swamp in Bumblebutt, New Jersey, deserve better than these clowns making decisions. Send Woody overseas to be the ambassador to what's the furthest country? Australia, to the furthest province in Australia. Send him out. Clean house. Rip it to the studs. Joe Douglas, you did some good things in 4 years. Congrats. Guess what? You know the saying, a broken clock is right twice a day? Well, congratulations, yes. A broken clock is right twice a day, so you made a move, competent move every once in a while. But it's time to go. It's time to clean house. You have not done the job. You have been here for 5 off seasons, and we have maybe 4 players who you could say are good quality championship caliber type starters. How does that happen? How does that happen? How do we have, like... How do you look at our team and say, okay, if we're moving forward, if we're starting over, who are guys we're building around with? You've got Garrett Wilson, you've got Breece Hall, you've got Quinnen Williams, and that is freaking it. That is freaking it. What have you done? What have you done? And I was on your side. I thought you were good because you brought in talent, you were good at drafting, but again, I might have just looked at the broken clock at the right time on accident. Joe Douglas... Time up. You're done. You stink. You didn't do your job. So we always knew. We knew the Jets were going to get Devontae Adams. Why didn't you just get him in the offseason? Why didn't you just get him in the offseason, Joe? Just get it. Make the trade in the offseason so that he could have the preseason to get ready and get the reps in, dude. Clearly Aaron Rodgers is a rep guy who needs his reps. Even if he was over in Egypt over the offseason, you should have brought him in the summer. Why you didn't? Again, foolish incompetence. Foolish incompetence. The Hassan Reddick thing. If you were going to just rip up the contract, why didn't you do it in August? Why didn't you do it in July? Why did you let it get to freaking November? Why did you guys do that? And you know what? I know it's not Joe. I know it's the Johnson & Johnson boys up there. Woody and Chris and these crumb bum losers. Sell the team. Sell the team. And that is our move. That is our rallying cry. I'm never going to say don't show up to games. Support your team. Show up. Even though the players think it's not their fault. Right? They're dealing with crumb bum coaches who go out and say they did a tackling presentation. Goodness gracious. We ruin people. We ruin people. This organization, the nickname is Gangrene, and it's so fitting because it is literally a disease. It's a mold. It's a It's a thing that just spreads and spreads, and we just ruin good people. We ruined Aaron Rodgers' rep. Well, he probably ruined it himself, so I don't want to take too much credit. Davante Adams looks like an old man out there. He looks like an old man. He can't catch the freaking ball. He can't run the right freaking routes. Aaron Rodgers, at the end of the game, is throwing the ball backwards. What the heck happened to him in his brain? Go on another ayahuasca, whatever you call it, dark retreat, bro. Dang, dude. We ruin people. We ruin people. And so, Joe Douglas, appreciate it. I want to say that you tried, but I don't know. Your actions speak louder than the words, and you have done nothing. We have gone backwards. We have gone backwards. And you can link it solely to the decisions that you made. Just chatting.